live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. It's Cofield and Company.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying.
Yeah, all right, here we go. 5 o'clock hour. Cofield and Company on the scene at Treasure Island. Remember, brand new sportsbook here, STN Sportsbook. If you missed it yesterday, go up to lvsportsnetwork.com for our weekly discussion with Chuck Esposito. lvsportsnetwork.com, click on the Cofield and Company page. And reminder, we're putting out a lot of videos. The videos go up on YouTube. Most of them are shorts, easily consumable, right? The best highlights, we get about two a day. At a Cofield and Company, kidding. TikTok, Facebook, Threads, IG. And the most popular site for Cofield and Company material, especially when Adam Hill is on ranting, Truth Social.
Sure.
I've actually never been on there. Have you been on there? Mm-hmm. Is there a lot? No.
Nope.
I wonder. Griffin, I know you like that site. Is there actually a lot of videos on that?
You say True Site?
What Truth did you Social.
Say? Truth Social.
Yeah, Trump's
Truth
site.
Truth Social.
Oh. The president's social media.
I haven't gotten access to that
Never
yet.
Heard
still
of
wait,
it.
Still waiting for my access.
Boy, you were Johnny on the spot and loquacious on our bathing suit discussion. Mm-hmm. Adam Hill, you were walking up. I don't think you heard this bite. Can we play a bathing suit guy who's got advice for all of us?
The amount of people wearing 9-inch bathing suit shorts is absurd. It's 2025. You gotta rock the 5-inch bathing suit short. Maybe 6, maybe 7, but there's so many brands. Chubbies, Abercrombie, American Eagle. So many people make really good looking bathing suit shorts. The amount of leg you need to show needs to be a lot. Let them legs breathe.
Yeah, so I started to make
was
the transition to the
coughing in the middle. Then?
It was. Okay. We also, like we said, the vast sound crew, we've got like 13 people who cut sound. They all missed all the free promotional pops there and didn't cut the cough, but he might have been drinking a vodka or something.
Yeah, the cough's important because it's context to, like, this guy just...
It's too tight.
Ranting. I don't know what's going
on. Oh, I thought you meant the shorts are too tight. And he's like,
I was even in my mind, I'm thinking of, like... I mean, it doesn't matter how tall you are, too?
Well, I mean, the shorts are going to be... If you're 6'5", they're whatever size you're wearing. I guess that is a good point.
That is a very good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, then why were you sunglasses?
You're like 5'4", and you're wearing the 9-inch shorts. It's like,
well, the board going short, to the feet. The board shorts for, I'll say me as the shortest guy on the show. Not really. I was going to ask other people, but I quickly didn't want to irk them.
Sure.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. I'm average, so I was like, I can wear the shorter shorts if you want to. But then, like I said, we had some lady commenting yesterday on summer attire for guys, and there was this whole list on Threads, and they were like, don't wear this, don't wear that, and someone said, no short shorts. We don't want to see your hairy thighs. And it's like, okay, well, this guy wants to see the hairy thighs. What do you want me to do?
This guy thinks that's his best feature, and he's trying to, you know,
maybe
let him air out.
That's what it is.
And the women are like, no, bro,
you
keep it away.
You at the pool need to wear sweatpants because as Uncle Steve in this role, I am afraid of you burning again like you do every year. You don't need short shorts because you're not going to apply sunscreen
or
spray it on.
My face is a little rough right now.
You got it again, didn't you?
It's a...
You're a Raiders kid. Every year we have this discussion. You nearly had an episode where they had to throw you in the freezer like 4 years
that's
ago.
That's been overblown. It's not true.
You were flush with heat.
We did. There was an incident last week with somebody.
You told
somebody
me, and it was actually someone kind of young.
Yeah.
And like in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, we don't have to tell the Vegas audience. Like, it ain't no joke here. Even right now, we're just getting into it. Like, you got to hydrate. And you got to cover up, and if you don't cover up, I mean, if you're naturally dark, then, I don't know, put on your 4. But if not, you got to wear 50.
The other problem is I had coworkers responsible for bringing sunscreen and snacks.
They all quit or got fired.
They're all gone.
Yes.
So there hasn't been like a replacement.
My part.
There hasn't been a replacement. So it's rough. Nobody's there to remind me.
You like that? Lack of accountability right there, Griffin. I think he was serious, too. He's like, they're not bringing my stuff. I'm a columnist now. Where's my sunscreen?
Yeah, it's not their responsibility. It's just they know, like, oh, he's not bringing it, so it's on us.
All right.
And then they don't. And then
would
I
you,
don't.
Would you like one of us to get up from the show and order you some food right now?
No, actually.
I'm kind of hungry.
I pre-ordered. Well, I pre-ordered a drink today because I was very never. It wasn't here. It was somewhere else.
Was it tight again?
Well, it was. I texted you when I arrived.
Yeah.
And at that point, I put in an order, not a TI, somewhere else.
Right.
I put in an order for a drink.
I don't know why you do it, man.
And it said it will be available at the counter at 4:42.
And it was not.
4:56. I was like, hey, drink. They're like, oh, sorry. Forgot about that one. We'll make that. Thank you.
You run into bad luck all the time. Yeah. What are you
well, I also am not forceful.
I want to get into a little football. We got some SEC stuff and then a lot of Raiders. You saw the story today about more fines for rushing the field and court storming in the SEC?
Yeah, it was the SEC meetings are going on. We've heard a lot of news about, you know, bigger news about them trying to take over college sports and everything else. But a lesser known or lesser publicized outcome of that meeting was that they have implemented $500,000 fines on all schools whose fans rush the floor or storm the field in football. Now, they've always had fines in place. They had an escalating structure. So it was like $100,000 for the first time, I think $200,000, $400,000, $500,000, I think is how it went, and then $500,000 each additional. Now it's just $500,000 straight across if they rush. Or they can get out of it if they somehow keep everybody off the field or court until the visiting team and all their coaches and everyone else have cleared, which is kind of the old Mountain West Conference tournament strategy.
I don't like that.
Which
it's
becomes
awkward.
Very dumb.
Yeah, it's very awkward.
Now, I'm pretty anti-court storming anyway.
I like it. I like field rushing. The students are actually, you know, in there every 2, 3, 4 years. So just because they won a big game 3 years ago doesn't mean the kids for this big game got to do the field rush that time.
Well, I think you have to be an underdog, and you have to win.
There's rules.
Yeah, because I've seen people storm the court when they're a favorite.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? And I think it has to be top five or, like, you know, beating, like, a Gonzaga at home if you're, you know, whatever, Portland.
Right.
You know, some bottom feeder school with a dominant conference team.
Like, Vandy doesn't need to do it every time it wins a game because they started to win some games.
But if they beat a top five team at home and they're unranked?
Okay.
But now you have to wait. So be over-exuberant and excited about your team, but wait a little bit.
So we've talked about the SEC coming out all bullish and obnoxious and led by the mouth of the South, Jefferson Davis Sankey, Greg Sankey. And I think this is all a detailed plan to get everyone all worked up, fired up. This is what happens now. You throw people off a little bit, and then you renegotiate kind of a little bit lower, or you kind of do it off to the side behind their back when they're looking at other stuff. These guys are charlatans in the South. They really are. And what they're trying to sell here is real nonsense. And I think a lot of people concentrated on the concentration of power and the grab for wealth. But one of the things that was missed is in this plan to get 4 auto bids for the SEC, it's not just about dominating the tournament and guaranteeing 4 teams are in. They want to monetize how they put the 4 teams in. This was Soren Petro yesterday, who's a Kansas City talk show host, and he's a guy who covers both the SEC with Mizzou and the Big 12, maybe on the outside looking in if, Brett Yormark, the commish doesn't fight back on this one. Petro starts talking about this whole thing about, hey, let's get our best teams in. We want the best teams in is a lot of bunk.
It's not necessarily going to be the 4 best SEC teams. Maybe we do an NBA play-in thing, and the 11th best SEC team ends up getting one of those slots. So suck on that. You think you're getting this big playoff, but instead you're going to watch this ass 7-5 SEC team that got hot at the right time get in there, and you're stuck with it. That's why they want to guarantee those spots. We get 4 every year. What's the big deal? Because the big deal is you won't put your 4 best in. You'll make more money on the side, which doesn't come to us, even though it's the tournament that is what ultimately is the prize in playing those games. You want to go play those games as bowl games? Nobody watches. But they know having the carrot of those games mattering for a tournament, they'll get bigger ratings for that.
And they've already talked about it. I think the number 1 and 2 team in the SEC, the 2 championship title game teams would get in, which, again, I don't really understand why you play a championship game except for seeding. But the 3 and 4 slots could be a play-in tournament with 3, 6, 4. Now, will a 7 and 5 SEC team be the 6th seed or sixth team in the conference, maybe. But this is disingenuous because you're not really looking to get the four best teams in because you might get your fifth and sixth teams in.
Yeah, they want to create.
And then here's the thing. Here's what's great. You know what's going to happen. I'm sorry. You know what's going to happen. They'll have a play-in tournament, 3-6, 4-5. 6-5 will win, and then they'll piss and moan to get 3-4 in.
Of course they will. Of course. That's the plan. But also,
damn like, it,
if you're guaranteed four teams, you're not deciding the four. So you can't – no, go ahead and play these games if you want to. The winners are not getting automatic bids.
Let me tell you something. If – this is very inside baseball, inside college football. And I hope you can make it this year. I hope you're available. Last year at the Mountain West Conference, Football Media Days, we sat down with the new head of the college football playoff, Rich Clark. I'm not going to use the word contentious, but it was – there were definitely some hard questions by you. This one right here, if this is still alive as an idea in mid-July, we're less than 2 months away. I will be standing up and screaming about this. And Rich Clark is going to be like, what is wrong with you? And then he'll have to remind us again. He was very, what was that internet or TikTok thing, demure and what else? He was very humble. He's like, I'm not going to call him a former general. He's an Air Force general. And he's like, don't worry about that. I'm like, sir, yeah. I need you to have that title so I don't flip the frig out on this.
Also, don't refer to me that, but wear your stripes during the interview,
yes.
Bro.
Well, yes. This has to be stopped. Jefferson Davis was not stopped. The Southerners were not stopped until we had to stop them. And then we didn't squash them. This needs to be stopped and squashed some 160 years later with these Southerners.
So we have to have a Big Ten SEC game at Appomattox?
Yes. It's not Big Ten SEC. It needs to be Group of Five and Big 12 and ACC all need to fight the mouth of the South, Greg Sankey and the Southerners.
I'm just worried that they would win. Because they'd have the officials on their side, yes. Or whatever. I don't want that.
There would be a vote who won. They would all be lying on the floor, verbally beaten. We're not promoting physical violence.
They don't acknowledge who won the Civil War. Why would they acknowledge that they lost
that's
this?
A good point. And Sankey was the one who. I mean, he's been very bullish. He was very bullish last week. They had all this availability for their meetings, and he said, "I don't want anyone lecturing me on good of the sport." Well. You know what's funny? As I never looked at Brett Yormark as the guy who would save everyone else, but he's the most savvy dude, the head of the Big 12. He better get to work here.
Yeah.
And I think if there is a verbal debate publicly or a back and forth where they're not together, I think Yormark is really savvy. I don't know how savvy. I think Sankey's more of a bully. This is going to be really interesting.
That's the problem also because Yormark, and I hope that it's – you know, different public and behind the scenes, maybe, and to your point of hoping he's somewhat more forceful. Because he does seem to be a little bit like, he's not just saying, hey, SEC, for better the game, you should make these decisions. He's also saying, hey, these things that I'm suggesting might cost us in my league, the Big 12, but we think it's better for the good of the game if we do this, this, and this.
Yep.
And then the SEC's like, yep, get out of here. Like, oh, okay. You have to have some of the same, like, grace, and they won't. And I hope that he doesn't stick to, hey, let's just keep doing what's best for the game and not for us,
man.
Because he needs to fight a little bit.
I'm gonna do a 4-day tease ahead. Next week, I will reveal in multiple stages if the SEC wins this battle and tries to separate and pull the Big Ten with it. I have a battle plan that I think is. Potentially going to crush the SEC, and there's nothing that Jefferson Davis Sankey can do about it.
Oh, your plan's going to save it? Okay. Are you going to present it to them or just say it on the air?
I'm just leaving it.
Hopefully you go there and to one of their meetings and tell them.
It's going to be because the SEC is of the attitude like, hey, do this or else. My plan will be, okay, well, I got an or else. see if you can compete. Well, the Knicks are competing. They're still alive. You said the other day, pump the brakes. Knicks are not completely done in this series. Good effort. Halliburton wasn't very good. Pacers didn't shoot the ball very well. The crowd at the Mecca was amped up. This picture. How old is this picture with TJ McCollum? Did you see the picture? Isn't this the thing that McAfee? No, this McAfee's got the John Cougar Mellencamp. Yeah, yeah. Click on the picture. There's a link. There was a picture of TJ McCollum when things were going well for the Pacers, and like every New York celebrity is in the shot. Can you see everyone in the
Stiller,
shot?
Stiller, Chalamet, Kylie.
Do you see Miles Teller in the picture?
And
he's not even. I think he's a Philly fan.
Is that John Stewart?
I think it's John Stewart, but his hair, he's got an oddly cut beard. It could be like an incredible doppelganger of John Stewart.
It's quite a crew.
Yeah, I don't know what any of that is. I don't know what the taunt is, but they look like just beaten shells of New York Knicks fans.
I mean, Stiller looks disheveled.
This fandom thing is pretty
interesting. Aren't you a big Along Came Polly guy?
I love Along Came Polly.
I thought you were.
Yeah. So. Is that the one with the loofah where he's got the he's got the bad stomach and he clogs up the toilet?
Yeah.
And loofah, yeah. Is that a ferret that's in it?
I believe so. He's like an insurance or like a risk management guy?
He is a risk management guy, yes. That's a good movie. Was Favre in that one?
No. That was Something About Mary.
Something About Mary. I'm mixing the two movies.
It's one of my top five.
Along Came Polly, Sandy Lyle playing basketball?
Correct.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, yeah. Rest in peace. Not a good shooter, but good actor.
Not great. Chucker.
He was. So we called this. I mean, these things are easily predictable. We're the only ones in the country who called it now. The whole little Indy against big New York and that the celebrities would be hated. Even though most of them were kind of likable between Chalamet and Stiller. I like the Jenners.
But I do think Chalamet, even though he's like celebrity and you would think, based on like movie roles and everything else, you would think unlikable. He's incredibly likable down to earth.
He's incredibly likable. His name makes, like if you don't know him, you're like, New York Knicks fan, Chalamet.
Yeah. But then you hear him like talk about sports, you're like, oh, likable, down to earth, relatable. But then he starts dating a Jenner, you're like, oh, okay. He's like, I'm fine with it, but I think there is like an element that's like, oh, okay.
If you can you, sorry I didn't request this earlier, call up the Vast Sound crew in the back. Can we get the McAfee intro again? This has turned into a big thing, and I got some real problems with some of the people commenting on this. We've got some issues here. So this is two games back. McAfee, he's doing the wrestling thing. He's completely playing up what I said would happen in the series, which is little, you know, gritty, gutty Indy against those, you know, jerks, the elites from New York.
Indianapolis, Indiana. We got some big wigs from the big city in the building. Spike Lee is here.
That's the essence of sports. Rivalries, big versus little. I love that so much. It's like my freaking – it's my roots, really. I have so many fan bases and teams and areas I don't like, and I root against them and love it.
I also think every time you play, it's important to note that McAfee and Chalamet are close.
Oh, he's laughing as he's doing it.
Yeah.
There's some people mad on both sides. First – I'm just going to get Ben Stiller out of the way. Ben Stiller gave, like, this really weird answer. Like, we're traveling to go see the game, and, you know, we're good fans, and I don't get what he's doing. You don't get what he's doing?
Yeah, exactly.
You the movies, we just mentioned a bunch of the movies he's in. You write comedies.
Yeah.
You couldn't see what was happening. You don't get it. You don't get that everyone hates New York.
Well, he just kept saying it was weird.
It's not weird.
It's weird.
It's not weird.
And he kept responding. He kept responding on Twitter to people saying, "Oh no, it's just weird. Hey, it's in good fun, and I get it, but it's weird."
Well, then he's
not really weird.
Is he trolling?
No.
Then he's not really a sports fan. He doesn't understand any of this.
And I think more.
And
to
I
the
like
point,
Ben Stiller, and I think he's funny. He's got to be faking here.
No, more to the point of that, I don't think he knows who McAfee is.
Which I think
tells me
he's
not an everyday, like an everyman.
Yeah. Well, the other guy who's mad is on the Indiana side.
Oh boy, this one. So now I'm conflicted.
This one.
I'm conflicted because, man, this guy. First of all, I've never heard a good word about him ever, not once. And this only backs it up. And now I'm like, well, who do I want to win now?
Oh, this might switch your allegiance.
Maybe.
John Cougar Mellencamp was mad. His basic take was, hey, those of us in Indiana, we're very welcoming. We're not like that. To which that right there, I'm like, you are?
Yeah.
Are you sure? You're speaking for everyone in Indiana?
Just unlikable. But he also has to choose a side between, because he wants to be Hollywood elite, but he lives in Indiana. So it's a tough balance for him.
I would assume, okay, my only hesitation, and it's my same hesitation with Terry Bradshaw, when Bradshaw was going off on Aaron Rodgers, they're old. Like, there's a cutoff at some point. I'm like, they're 75 plus.
But I don't think it's as old. I think it's just a jerk. So
you think is this a, because his complaint was basically like, who is this guy McAfee repping us?
Yes.
Is this a, like, do you know who I am? I'm John Cougar Mellencamp. I speak for Indiana, not this McAfee guy. Well, John, he was a punter for the Colts. He's got a big radio show. Kind of comes off as, for some, as man of the people. Like, you kind of understand it. Well, I'm John Cougar Mellencamp, though.
So,
okay, John.
So it's kind of funny. I told you the other day, there's a comedian in town right now who I'm a big fan of. He's not like a big name. He's actually not even headlining one of the local comedy clubs this week. He's featuring one of my favorite, like, not young comedians, but just kind of unknown comedians. Massive Indiana Pacers and Colts fan. He's actually done podcasts about his favorite teams. He has a bit from his first special about what an awful person John Cougar Mellencamp is, because they're from the same town, and just rips it.
Can we get him on the phone
constantly.
Next week?
I wanted. He's here now. Like, I wanted to get him today. But yeah, we can try to get him on. That's one of the. I was like, we got to get him on.
I hadn't heard this.
So he does a whole thing about how much he hates John Cougar Mellencamp and how John Cougar Mellencamp would go around town in Bloomington, where Tom Takkar, that's the comedian I'm talking about, where he's from, and just pull, like, do you know where I am? Everywhere. And he's like, dude, you're back in Bloomington. You can't pull that at Sizzler or, like, the Shoe Palace in Bloomington. And that's what he was doing. That's literally from the bit.
What do you do at the Shoe Palace?
You buy shoes.
You just want free shoes?
Well, apparently they were like, hey, we don't have that in size 12. He's like, oh, I'm John Cougar Mellencamp. Like, sorry, dude. Like, you can't tell the high school kid at Shoe Palace, like, or whatever the or Shoe, whatever it was. I can't remember what the name of the store. I think that it's something like that. But yeah, he built this whole joke around how bad of a person and how not representative of the town John Cougar Mellencamp is. And now I think we're seeing why.
Headline New York Post 3 hours ago, Pat McAfee tells John Mellencamp to shut the F up. All right. So McAfee doesn't go with me on, hey, he's 73, let's take it easy.
The boys on the McAfee show were doing a lot of singing of John Cougar Mellencamp songs today in a very trolling manner. It was good stuff.
Again, the issue here is you've got celebrities here who just are not very well-rounded and understand sports. I'm not saying you have to be a jerk to the opposing fan, but it is part of sports fandom.
It should be. I mean, that's part of what we love about it.
Do Indiana fans like every school that they play in basketball and football? No, they don't.
No. But that's also, again, I think it's Stiller, and I think it's Mellencamp. They're not, and I like Ben Stiller. This is tough. I don't want to group them in.
No.
But they're not, like, they don't know what fandom or real life.
You're in the arena.
Those things are.
You don't feel it in the arena?
You should.
You don't understand? Like,
not where they're sitting. Like, they're like in the huddle with the team. They're not
with
the fans.
They can't hear upstairs when fans have certain players they friggin' hate.
I don't think they could tell.
Does Ben Stiller love Reggie Miller?
Probably not. But it's only supposed to go one way. We in the big city hate them, but they're supposed to love us.
Or is he claiming that, hey, I'm just a fan. I'm not a celebrity. When I'm here, I'm just a fan. You're the enemy.
But he wants to be both, though.
Yeah, you can't.
That's what he's looking
for. You can't unless you really are like a down-to-earth fan. Like, you're making the pitch that Chalamet is like a real fan. I did like that picture when he was like 14 with Amari Stoudemire. That says something. You know, anyone who wants to question me as a longtime New Jersey Nets fan, you can just listen to my stories about palling up with Mike Cheminski when I told him his autograph sucked.
Good buddy. Have some effort. Show some effort.
Show some effort.
It's good.
The G-man. Hey, he was lazy. He did a little scribble for me. Clearly. I'm like, come on, G-man.
Clearly.
We're not at Duke here. You don't have as much street cred in northern New Jersey. Give me a real signature. Got to hash that out with him someday. He'll probably look at me the way – I'm going to name drop here. He'll probably look at me the same way that Dan Marino did when I told Marino the story about the fake spike game and how what a miserable day it was for me. I had a flat tire when I walked out of the sports bar, and he looks at me. He's like, yeah, it's rough. I was like, all right, Dan, thanks.
I had to Google and make sure Cheminski was still with us.
I actually did that earlier. I was gonna rip on someone.
And, I didn't want to.
I think he's still here.
I want to take a shot at him and then say.
No, I think the G-man.
No, we're not going to get a chance to confront him. He's gone.
That has happened from time to time. All right, quick time out here. We're going to find out what's been going down at Raiders camp. We needed some clarity, man. We needed some clarity. Chip Kelly, by the internets, man, he was ruining Ashton Jeanty, and Chip Kelly stood up the other day, and he's like, no, 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 no.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Adam Hill here at Treasure Island. It's Cofield. Another week of Raiders camp. Feels like the Raiders have had their camps more than any other team in the NFL. A lot of teams have barely started with their whatever trio of four offseason camps. Is that by design? They wanted to get out there early?
Well, I think you get a little bit earlier with new coach, so that's part of it. But I think you just don't see a lot coming out everywhere else. I think a lot of places have their Raiders minicamp is coming up in June 10th, so week and a half away or so. So they're almost done with the offseason process until the biggest break really in the NFL. We talk about it being 12 month a year, 52 weeks a year thing, but from the end of minicamp until training camp, there's really nothing. That's coming up.
Yeah, it's stories like Ashton Jeanty changing his stance, which show like how crazy we are about the NFL.
Yeah,
and I think Chip came in thinking to himself like, "I'm hearing I'm getting beat up about changing his stance here." We had Doc Holliday on, a former running back who played at Memphis and had a cup of coffee in the NFL, and he was like really worked up over Jeanty having to change his stance, and he was like, "Running backs need to be comfortable." He had that old cut.
Hey, leave dude the hell alone, man. Sometimes coaches coach too much. Don't overcoach. Leave dude alone. When you a running back, you want to be comfortable. If that's his stance and that's what he's comfortable with, leave dude the hell alone, man. Leave him alone. And Chip Kelly has been known to do too much. Remember when he was coaching the Eagles? And those NFL players had my dude too controlling, man. He micromanages, man.
So I wasn't there, but I just sensed Chip came in and he's like, all right, the running back coach worked him a little bit. I gave him one tip, and then, like, off the record, he's probably like, will everyone shut up?
Well, he cut off my question, if you
noticed. Oh, yeah?
This was my question, and he stopped it.
He did?
He goes, let me clarify this. Because I was, like, halfway through asking about it. And then...
Did you stop him and go, let me finish?
Let me finish my question. No,
I'm the big fella.
No, but I do think it's interesting that, as you pointed out, he goes right away, he goes, look, it wasn't me, it was Dylan McCullough. He's a running backs coach. I don't coach stances. That's his job. But then he proceeded to give like a 12-minute answer of why he needed to change his stance. So clearly you told McCullough to tell him to change his stance.
Right.
Obviously. And you are in favor of it because you explained why he needed to do it. And I'm going to say this to the point that, is this a big deal? Is it not? I had a big question coming into – of Ashton Jeanty coming in, of him as a receiver. I think there was a lot to be desired from him as a receiver at Boise State.
They didn't use him.
They did 2 years ago statistically, but it really was just, hey, take three steps from the quarterback. We'll toss it to you so that you don't, you know, you can get a little bit of space, so you don't have to run right into the line. This past year, they really didn't use him as a receiver at all. I don't know where he is as a receiver, and I thought it was interesting that the biggest thing Chip Kelly talked about in his answer about the stance is getting out into the routes. So I think it's pretty telling to me. I mean, I'm kind of putting the dots together here, but to me, it's not about like, hey, he's just taking a handoff. That's how he's comfortable. It's, yeah, you need to get better at getting into routes. This is going to help. Because the first thing he said was, it's hard enough to run a route in the flat and get open against Fred Warner when you're not in a ready position.
So that's a legit story then.
Yeah.
That no one really talked about initially with the change of stance.
Yeah.
And I think Doc missed that point too. Like, it's not just about running the ball. When you take a guy as high as they did, you want to have a three-down back.
Right.
Better be able to block, but also needs to be an option. The best running backs in football need to be out there and targeted a minimum of 50 times a year.
Yeah, and that's the biggest reason rookie running backs don't get on the field is because of their pass protection, one, and their ability to get out the route, two. Like, I understand that Ashton Jeanty is special in what he does with the ball. But running backs really are a dime a dozen. They really are. That's what separates you. And so if they believe that that's the way he's going to get better in the passing game, maybe he does need to do it.
Have you looked into how much Geno is into throwing to the running backs? How much did Seattle have him doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depended on the running back for the most part. But I will say that they seem to be making a concerted effort to throw him and other running backs the ball. Whether that's trying to get him ready, Ashton Jeanty, I mean, ready, or whether that's what Chip Kelly just wants to do in the offense or what he believes, you know, is good at right now, I don't know.
Yeah.
But they were definitely throwing the ball to Ashton Jeanty a lot.
I'm doing this off of memory, so correct me if I'm wrong. I do feel like Ohio State, before and during Chip Kelly, used Travion Henderson quite a bit, throwing him the ball. He was a big catch and take at the distance guy. Who, by the way, might have been a nice option in the second round. Let's not get into that.
the most passing game ready running back that there was in the draft.
Right.
Excellent in pass protection also. I did post
this. Don't nitpick, please.
But I did post this question yesterday.
Yeah.
To some people around the Raiders. And they were like, you're just trolling at this point. I think that Ashton Jeanty was the best running back. I think that Ashton Jeanty is going to be very good. I don't think the value is there to take a running back as high as they did, but I do think he's going to be very good. How bad, because there is some momentum gaining right now in the markets, how bad would it look for the Raiders if another running back in the division won Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, we talked about this with the behemoth.
And it's not Omarion Hampton.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because it looks like R.J. Harvey is going to be the starter in Denver. And could be a three-down back.
Former quarterback, no?
And a really talented player. Like, if he ends up being Rookie of the Year, which, again, he's still, you know, significant underdog to be that, but there's some momentum gaining certainly in the market and also in the fantasy community for sure. Like, how bad does that look?
Well, it's only 1 year, but...
Of course.
Yeah, I get it. But it is the number six pick. He needs to be impressive this year.
Yeah. As we said, it's almost to the point, if he goes for 1,600 and, like, 15 touchdowns, he's not a good pick. Like, that's why it's ridiculous to be taking a running back at this high, because that's the production that you're looking for just to solidify the pick.
This is a time when I enjoy Adam Hill not letting things go, because this will be a four-year not letting it go.
Well, I mean, we'll see how he plays. Yeah. I think he's going to be very, very good.
Right.
But I don't think people understand the level that you have to achieve to justify being picked at that spot as a running back.
You got some good time with some of the coaches the other day?
Yeah.
You talked to the wide receiver coach?
We broke up the coaches into two groups.
I'm curious to see what you think of some of the comments about Dante Thornton, who is a guy who developed into a pretty reliable deep threat at Tennessee. They want a lot more from him. Chris Beatty, the wide receiver coach, said there's a lot of things he wants to work on as far as polishing his route, running releases for a taller guy. We got to work on understanding the whole scheme. so everything slows down for him. He's done a great job so far.
Yeah, and I mean, that was the question, right? It was, he is about as good a go route and post route guy as you're going to find in the draft. Like, can he run the rest of the route tree? And, I mean, that was the biggest question. We'll see. I think that if you, as you watch him, you see both things as you're kind of watching him. And, it, again, it's – well, we've been out there for three practices, so no big judgments. And if you're – man, I have seen some real hot takes from around the league and from people watching Raiders practices that I'm noticing are not even watching practice. And then they're having hot takes about things that are going on. Settle down. You don't know anything about how good players are going to be or how bad they're going to be.
It's hot take season, man, but, everywhere.
But I would say watching Thornton, you see so, – first of all, you see the size, which is very impressive. You see that from, like, three fields away. As you watch him closer, you watch him run go routes, and you're like, wow. You're like, how is he not a first-round pick? And you see other routes, you're like, oh, that's why. But I asked the question draft night. I'm trying to – remember it was night two. I just said, do you see him as being a guy that can develop into a full route tree guy? And they were, of course, absolutely. But I mean, you kind of have to say that. But right now, he's not. I don't think he's there. But the talent, and we talked about this at the draft too. What I liked about what they did in the draft, they took a lot of traits guys. Like, this guy's elite at this. If he can figure out the rest of it, he's a great player. And I think that's one of them. He's got an elite ability right now. If the other parts of his game catch up to it, what a steal. And that's what they're looking for.
Darian Porter, another guy like that.
Giant.
But you also mentioned to me off the air the other day that these coaches are very fired up, that they're getting very raw guys that now they can mold them.
Well, Porter in particular. I mean, Porter's a guy who played. He came to college as wide receiver, played there his first 3 years. Switched over but didn't play for two. He played 6 years in college. But 3 years of receiver, 2 years of DB on the bench, and then 1 year as a starter at DB. And he was very good, especially against deep balls. Teams were not completing deep balls against him at all. Ton of size, unbelievable athleticism. He's got everything you could want, but he just doesn't know the position yet. And I was asking some of the coaches about that, and they said, yeah. Hasn't developed the bad habits yet either. And so that I think that's part of what they're excited about of, hey, you don't have to coach anything out of him. Like, he's just clay that you can mold into how you want him to play.
They have someone who's even more raw. And Mark McMillan talked about him about a month ago. 6'6", 348. Lockie Tossie.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Giant. They're moving him around, switching him, and I think this
moving
is
him around.
Yeah, he's a rugby player, so he was kind of learning football as a defensive player. They're gonna try him on offense a little bit too.
Oh, really? Okay, both sides of the ball. I thought you meant up and down the line.
No. They're just gonna move him. I think they're gonna try him everywhere. Like, just see what can you do. Just a giant athlete, rugby player who didn't even know about the NFL, like 2 years ago, and I think it was his barber, if I remember correctly, was like, try the NFL, man. And he said, what is that? Showed him some YouTube videos. He's like, all right, give it a try. So he went to one of the international camps, learned a little bit of the game rules, things like that. And then now is the International Pathway Player Program. So he doesn't count on the roster. Can keep him around and develop him. But I think that they believe he can figure something out, turn into something.
Have you been up close to him?
No.
Okay. I'd like to see what you think of just how enormous this guy is at 6'6", 348. You've been around a lot of big football players, sure. And also big fighters.
Sure. Not many 350-pound fighters.
No. I mean, Brock Lesnar, being around him at 6'4.5", probably 300. Cutting weight down to 265.
All natural.
All natural, especially when he was over 300.
Yeah.
300 and shredded.
Yeah.
I'm curious about Lockie Tossie.
Yeah,
6'6", 348.
I look forward to interviewing him and talking to him. I just haven't been around him up close yet.
I want to see if you have that big fella connection too. If he's usually the big guys try to test you a little bit.
Well, I think the
he seems like he might be very affable.
Well, from what I've been around in terms of fighters, I'm just judging it on that. But the you know, New Zealand, Australia, the South Pacific, like, they don't have that. They don't have that same thing that the big fella Americans do.
Yeah. Got to prove myself.
Yeah, yeah, they don't have that.
So, like, Bob Sapp size and also Bob's meekness in real MMA fights.
Sure.
I would never say that to Bob's face or in his vicinity because he's another guy who's a former NFL player. Who, well, again, all natural.
Just didn't like.
At 6'5 and 340 pounds.
Didn't like taking punches.
Which is not good
no.
when you're a fighter. Well, like at all.
It's good if you don't take them.
Right, if you're brilliant defensively.
But he would just go.
Turtle up.
He would start fighting and you'd be like, how is this guy ever going to lose? And he'd get hit once and be like, almost cry.
Run
like,
to the corner.
That's how he loses.
But we didn't say that. Scratch that from the record. On the way back, grab bag. We'll get into what's happening this weekend and also what happened to set up the Stanley Cup Finals.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Thanks to Trey Rowland for hosting the show today, as I do every Friday. Get on down here. You can go get your game on. When you first come in the building, when you self-park for free at the brand-new Cove Arcade, full-service bar, 27 exciting games, 19 TVs, air hockey, shuffleboard, duck pin bowling, golf simulator, and it's right there across from the Mystere Theater. So come on in, about 8,000 square feet of entertainment and fun. Into the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
So I just brought up a weird memory off the top of my head. We were talking about Lachie Tassi, who's an international signing of the Raiders, who's 6'6", 348. And we were talking about Bob Sapp, who fought, played in the NFL, was a Washington lineman, I think, university, I think, Colorado, whatever. One of the biggest human beings I've ever seen. I was looking back on one of his fights in 2002 with Big Nog, and it's unreal how big he is. Like, big, that's the funny part, is Big Nog, right? Well, he's big because he has a little brother, or younger brother, who's, or are they twins? He's a twin brother, right? Yeah. Who's smaller? But Sapp had a fight at, like, I don't know, 6'5", 350, and it's, like, all muscle, just muscle on muscle. And I was mentioning that he had a fight with Big Nog where he picked the guy up and did, a, like, a tombstone, can't say it, spike, but like it wasn't a wrestling type move where the other guy jumped into it. He just raw powered him up, spiked him to the ground. He didn't knock out Big Nog. They fought for another 8 minutes and went into a second round, and Bob Sapp's like just beaten to death. He's all bloody, he's gassed because he only had one round in him, and then got armbarred. But just the enormity of that guy was crazy, and the Japanese loved him. And you know, back then, maybe it's the case now, like there was no testing, so lots of people in Pride were just physical freaks.
Bob Sapp, University of Washington.
I got it right.
He was part of the team.
Bears?
He was part of drafted by the Bears in the third round and was part of the team that went to Miami and ended their 58-game home winning streak.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so a pretty high-level football player, and you know, certainly even not on whatever he was on, not alleging anything, but he was a gigantic guy.
Well, he was
guy.
Suspended from the NFL for steroids
multiple
times,
I remember that.
Yeah.
Okay, so then that's that's not really an allegation that might get me in trouble.
No.
Back in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Okay, so what happens moving forward now with Prickly Pete? Stars have played really good hockey. They've been consistent, but, man, that didn't work out.
No, tried to pull Ottinger after two early goals, tried to spark the team, and didn't work. Ended up getting blown out. You know, beat pretty handily at home, out of the series. Edmonton advances to the final yet again. We'll see. I mean, Pete DeBoer, I mean, you mentioned Prickly Pete. Like, he's a fantastic coach, but he does seem to – like many coaches in the hockey world especially, tend to, you know, his message seems to get lost at some point. We're at his welcome a little bit, so we'll see what happens down there. But that's a tough way to go out because it was a pretty, you know, high-profile coaching decision right in the spotlight that kind of blew up in his face.
Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
You know, we only got a little bit of Miss Jordan and Belichick talking this week, and it was about defamation because Jordan Hudson, Belichick's girlfriend, threatened Pablo Toure with potential suit, slander, and defamation. And Justin Watkins explained it pretty well. If you go up to our videos on TikTok or on YouTube or IG, Facebook, we posted a video of him explaining what defamation is and also the rule changes when a person is a public figure. And Jordan Hudson wants to be a public figure, so the rules are even lessened to another degree. There was a story out this week that she and my favorite Belichick mate, Linda Holiday, there was a dust-up during the winter.
Attended a party?
Linda Holiday's daughters throw this big party every year in the winter, and apparently Jordan Hudson went to it and was told multiple times to leave before security came over and was like, you have to get out.
Sounds like a real gem. I'll use this time to actually plug Pablo Torre, as you said. Unbelievable work as a journalist. As a journalist, I appreciate it. Watch both of the podcasts. They are phenomenal. He is tremendous at what he does.
And I do like that he came back and he's like, listen. And I don't think he was responding to these threats, but he's got a bunch of FOIA requests with North Carolina to get more information on what's going on, and they're denying him. So,
well, I think he is, because it was they were like, fake news. He goes, oh, yeah? Here's more, yep. And there's more coming if you don't comply.
Have a good weekend, everybody. Try not to sue anyone.